I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
While Joe Biden is busy making empty promises at our border, the rest of the country is being forced to deal with the consequences of his neglect. At this point, we all know the numbers. There have been 8.7 million illegal crossings nationwide. That doesn't even include the known gotaways since Joe Biden took office. This is what we know of. The president also knows the numbers and still does nothing to protect innocent Americans from this invasion. So now we need to talk about the people. We need to talk about the real life victims of Biden's border failures. We need to talk about the 2-year-old who was fatally shot earlier this month. We need to talk about the 14-year-old girl in Louisiana who was raped. And we need to talk about Lake and Hope Riley, who went for a run on her college campus and never came home. The alleged perpetrators in each of these attacks, illegal immigrants. These are just a few of the innocent Americans who have been victimized because of Joe Biden's open border policies.
That's a startling recognition and reminder of how many we have had killed by illegals in this nation. Now, again, I caution you, as you were listening then to Congressman Emmer, Minnesota Congressman, Tom Emmer, I caution you to make sure that you don't jump to the conclusion that the illegal being held for Lake and Riley Hope's death is guilty. He is charged, not convicted. And the rape case the congressman talked about, again, a suspect is charged. But we do know this. In both cases, they are illegals. They should not have even been in our country. But right now, you need to know the ideology in D.C. is shifting again. Originally, you could not call them aliens. No, that's bad. That's not PC. That's not politically correct. We need a better word. All right, well, we'll just call them illegal because that's what they are. No, you can't do that. So now we want to call them immigrants, they say. And they do. In all their press reports, they talk about immigrants, not illegal immigrants. There's a difference between legal immigration and illegal immigration. But they don't want to talk about the difference. And now you can't even refer to them as immigrants. You're supposed to refer to them as... You do not know how big this is going to get. Are you ready? Now you're supposed to refer to them as newcomers. Newcomers. Next thing, we'll be just calling them new babies. I don't know. Who knows where they're going to go next? Newcomers. All right, if you want me to use that phrase, which I will not anyway, but I would call them Biden newcomers. Put his name in front of them. Would that help? No, I know you don't like that. Well, tough. Sincerely, tough, and who gives a rip of what you think? Thanks for joining us. And I know many of you listening. I gave out business cards to a few folks the other day. They want to know about the radio program. They'd heard some about it, but I give them a card with my name on it and exactly how they can follow, when to listen, 6 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday, and also reminding them that we're streaming video when we're on the air. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Twitter, Facebook. You can do all of this. And at the same time, reminding you that if by chance you miss anything, you can get to the rebroadcast. Oh, and News Talk STL is back on YouTube, Quentin informs me. It's dealing with YouTube, it's like a cat. It's in, it's out. It's in, it's out. You know how cats are. It wants it. Meow, meow, I want it. And you let it in. Meow, meow, I want it. Go back out. That's the way YouTube operates right now. So they are also available on YouTube again for News Talk. But if you miss any of them, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. You can pull up audio and or video. Watch, listen as you choose. And please share with others. So here we are, the first day of March, March 1, 2022. And again, the immigration issue is the top of everyone's list. You're going to have Democrats try to look away. That's not that big of an issue. And Joe Biden's got it under control. And in fact, Joe Biden would have it solved if it weren't for the pesky Republicans. Because Donald Trump wants the chaos at the border to help him. He doesn't need the chaos at the border. And, you know, there's a source saying inside the leftist ranks, Biden could shut the border down. In fact, before I finish this segment, you're going to hear who is saying that. It might come as a shock. And I wonder if he's going to lose his job over it, because you can't say Biden can do that. Biden says he needs a special law to do it. We'll get to that in a moment. First, let's go to New York Governor Hochul. New York Governor Hochul has pointed out that, yes, in New York City, they're a sanctuary city, and the state is a sanctuary state, but she wants you to believe the state has different rules and laws than what the city has. Listen to this.
The state of New York has a different sanctuary policy. We are allowed to work with federal immigration officials when a crime has been committed, as we should be able to. And what we want to have happen in the state of New York, if someone commits a crime like the horrific assault by migrants against police officers in Times Square, I immediately said, I want them arrested, tried, and if convicted, I want them to spend time in New York jails before they are deported, because if they're released, go back to their country, I don't know that they won't be back in the next few months. So I think we have more control, at least under New York state laws.
Well, now, wait a minute. New York City, help me out. My geography might be off. Isn't New York City inside New York State? Oh, I think you're right, Larry. You're very good at that. Well, are you telling me New York City sanctuary laws are allowed to be different than what you have imposed by the state? Listen, when you say it's a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state, we just assume it's all one and the same. But now Governor Hochul said, no, we do things differently than Mayor Eric Adams would, and Mayor Eric Adams is already blaming the President of the United States for letting more illegals into his city, and the governor for sending more illegals to the city instead of the rural counties. But she says, no, we're different. In fact, as soon as those thugs attacked the pedestrians in New York City, I wanted them grand. I wanted them punished. Yeah, she did that when she got cornered by reporters saying, what are you going to do about this crime? And then she has to fold tent and say, yeah, let's cry them. Let's put them to jail and make sure they don't ever come back again. So again, she says New York State sanctuary is different than New York City sanctuary.
We should not even be talking about crimes being committed by migrants in the streets of New York. And the vast majority of them are law-abiding citizens. They truly are. They came here for a better life. And I don't want to highlight those who've committed crimes. They do exist. They exist in every society. But right now, the state of New York has the power to work with ICE when these situations occur.
Because the difference is that Eric Adams seems to want them to be able to be deported before tried and convicted of a crime. You think that is a bad move?
Well, that is not consistent with our policy at the state level. We work with people. I want people to have a punishment when they commit a crime against a New Yorker. I want to make sure that happens. That's very important to me.
Have you, riddle me this, have you communicated that message to the New York City mayor that your sanctuary laws in your city don't fit with what we're doing in the state? Or are you really doing in the state what you claim you're doing? And my answer to that is no and no. But here she wants to say, it's all the New York City mayor's problems, not mine. I mean, we have different things. All right, now I told you earlier, there is a member of the state-controlled press, the mainstream, if you want to call it that. This is News Nation, one of the newer ones that have come up. In fact, to give you the view of these guys, they hired Chris Cuomo, who got fired by CNNNN. Well, Chris Cuomo is talking about Joe Biden and Donald Trump going to the border. And you're going to hear Joe Biden talk about his plans at the border. And then you're going to hear Chris Cuomo say, you don't need to follow Donald Trump. You can do your own job. But I don't think this is going to sit very well. Here we go.
So here's what I would say to Mr. Trump. Instead of playing politics with this issue, instead of telling members of Congress to block this legislation, join me, or I'll join you in telling the Congress to pass this bipartisan border security bill.
Look, here's what I'll say. All right, don't join Trump. Do it yourself. Use the executive authority that is in the INA, the Immigration and Naturalization Act, and lock down the border until the processing can catch up. You can do it. If they're going to chase you in court, fine, but do something, okay? And as for Trump, look, we know the deal. Trump is behind killing the bipartisan Senate bill, and he did it for the worst reason, to keep the chaos going for the campaign. This is it. This is not my opinion. Senator McConnell said it, and Trump didn't deny it, okay? And the House GOP resistance, that's what it's about, that makes no sense either. Why? Well, it's a bad bill. Well, first, they were saying that before they saw the bill. Second, this wasn't just like one GOP senator, Langford from Oklahoma. You had 10 GOP senators working with the Democrats and a dozen House members.
Yeah, but they were not working for the same goal, and that is shut the border. And for him to quote Mitch McConnell as a reason Donald Trump should be changing things, and then Trump didn't deny. Trump can't deny every accusation thrown around. So we do have an illegal charge for killing Laken Hope Riley, the Georgia nursing student. The immigration issue is at our border, but here we had Chris Cuomo say the president has current authority to shut it down, but he claims he doesn't. Let me remind you of the oath of members of our military, our government, the White House must take.
Mr. President, I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter. So help me God. Mr. President, that's the oath that we all take once we become senators of the United States. Mr. President, just imagine that you are Allison and John Phillips. Last Thursday afternoon, you get a phone call from law enforcement in Athens, Georgia. The voice on the other end of the phone says that your daughter has been murdered by an illegal immigrant. I cannot imagine what that feels like.
No, I can't imagine either, and thank God I have not had to imagine it, nor you. But there have been thousands upon thousands that have had to deal with that. That is, again, Alabama Senator Tuberville on dealing with what we have at our border. We have an illegal charge with killing Laken Riley, but we need a conviction. Then, of course, the efforts to impeach Mayorkas at a standstill. The House tried back last month. The deadlock couldn't get past it. They need to go back through it. And Congress, or rather, Senator Tuberville says, you know, when it gets to the Senate, where are the Georgia senators? The state where Laken Hope Riley was killed, where are those Georgia senators going to stand on holding Mayorkas accountable for what happened to her?
Soon the Senate will hold a trial on articles of impeachment against Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas, the guy that's in charge of our border. Georgia senators, how are they going to vote when the trial comes up? Are they going to vote for Secretary Mayorkas since he's been impeached in the House? Because he is the one that let this killer in. Are senators from border states like California and Arizona going to save Mayorkas' job, the job that he has refused to do for the last 3.5 years? We'll find out, and find out soon.
Yeah, we will find out, because they're going to try to reintroduce the impeachment articles both in the House and the Senate. Now, he said, I wonder where the Georgia senators are going to come down. Tuberville is referring to the Georgia senators. Both are Democrats. One you certainly know, and that would be Raphael Warnock, And then you also have John Ossoff, again, Georgia, represented by two Democrat senators. So if they're going to push through an impeachment process against Mayorkas, he's asking, where are you going to stand? Are you going to admit that this guy has failed in his job and he should be impeached? Good question. And then Tuberville points out there are other things that Democrats are already buying into. And when he lists this, I want you to keep in mind, this is just one example of the crisis we're in this nation because we have not dealt with it properly. Again, Senator Tuberville.
In the House, every single Democrat fell in line and voted to save Mayorkas' job just a few weeks ago. Every single Democrat. And the guy hadn't done his job in 3.5 years. Every single House Democrat endorsed the job that Secretary Mayorkas is doing. That includes five Democrats from the state of Georgia, where Laken Riley was killed. In a separate vote, 150 House Democrats voted against deporting illegals who had been convicted of drunk driving. 150. All Democrats voted against deporting illegals if they got caught drunk driving. That includes all five Georgia's Democrats in the House. This is today's Democratic Party. And I go back to the oath that we all took to protect domestic and foreign. To protect.
If you have members of the Congress that are willing to say, if an illegal is not just charged with DUI, but convicted of DUI, that's still no reason to deport them. Send them to jail, maybe a workhouse, but don't deport them. Let them stay in the country after they've already been involved in a DUI. If they killed someone, maybe they'll be held a little bit longer, but you're still not saying send them away. So just focus on their DUI. I was driving under the influence. This is back to the Hunter Biden as we began this program in this hour. Making all kinds of excuses. Well, I'm an addict. I was drunk and on alcohol. I never have heard anyone get away with, my excuse is I was drunk. Can I get a free pass? My excuse is I'm hooked on drugs. Do I get a free pass? And in this case, we have members of the Congress, as he pointed out, every Democrat in the House voted against a bill to take DUI convicted illegals and deport them. They voted against it. And members of the Senate were also against doing it, the Democrats. You want to know why we have the crisis we have in the country? It's because we have that mindset. And not one of them on the left either has the cojones or the just stiff spine to stand up and say, this is wrong. Now, if it happened to a member of their family, would that change their mind? Well, first of all, I would not wish that on anyone. I don't care how bad of an enemy we are. I would not want your children to pay for your sins. But I will tell you, the Bible says that children will pay for their father's sins. In this case, I don't want anyone to die just to prove a point. Coming up, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin gets a grilling in front of Congress. This is going to be good.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and
global. People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers. Someone who cares. Your own personal Jesus. Someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You didn't tell the president that you had cancer, that you were being treated for cancer, or that the treatment for that cancer had gone wrong, because you saw it as personal and medical. And I think a lot of us have empathy for you in that regard. But now that you see how personal medical decisions are, will you call for the re-recruitment, restoration of full rank and back pay for the 8,600 service members who were vax mandated out of the military?
That's a good question. That is Florida's Congressman Matt Gaetz in a hearing with Lloyd Austin sitting in front of him and pointing out that we understand that you had a medical procedure and you kind of wanted to keep your medical information silent, but as Secretary of Defense, you don't have to tell the entire public necessarily, although you should in that position, but you should at least inform your superior, that would be the president, and also your subordinate, which will stand in for you, that would be your deputy. Lloyd Austin, may I remind you, Lloyd Austin did go in for prostate surgery, did not tell anyone in the White House, did not tell his deputy secretary, did not tell the Joint Chiefs of Staff, didn't tell anyone what was going on. And then word got out that he's in the hospital. What? Our Secretary of Defense is in the hospital? At some point, the deputy secretary was told, maybe 2 days after, once word got out, and Biden apparently was told even after that. Now, of course, they're going to change your stories up. Oh, no, I knew. Now, right. Well, then why would we have Lloyd Austin admitting he made a mistake? Because he has admitted that. He's admitted that he did not do things the way he should have. Well, give him credit for standing up for that. But that does not wipe out what he did. And yet, Matt Gaetz has pinpointed it. You threw good quality men and women out of our military service because they did not want to be subjected to the jab. They didn't have COVID. They didn't think they would. They were in good young health. And you forced them out. Even if they wanted to claim religious ground, you were kicking them out. So let's pick that up again with the fact that Austin is front of him and trying to make it clear that, hey, I had concerns about my health and the word. And Gaetz is almost trying to set out, let me put it this way. He's setting a snare. That's what he's doing. Let's listen.
Will you call for the re-recruitment, restoration of full rank and back pay for the 8,600 service members who were vax mandated out of the military?
No, I won't.
So on March 4th, 2021, you authored a memo. It was entitled Message to the Force. And in that memo, you said that there would be clear and swift accountability for anyone who didn't meet the highest standards of the Department of Defense. Now, however this worked out, we all acknowledge that what you did here didn't meet the highest standards, right? You made a mistake.
I admit it to
you. Yeah, okay, so we got that. So then the question is, what becomes the clear and swift accountability? Now, you're not going to be discharged, right? No?
That's right.
Okay, you're not going to be suspended, you're not going to be demoted, and you're not going to have your pay cut. None of those things are going to happen to you, right?
That's right.
Okay, so you come here seeking some grace and some forgiveness. Mr. Secretary, you come to us seeking forgiveness, but you offer none.
Isn't that interesting? If you want to have forgiveness, wouldn't you be one of the first to say, you know what? I'm in mistake. I should forgive these folks too. Will you forgive me? I'll forgive them. Or better yet, based on what I'm seeing and how I did things, I should forgive them right away. But he's not doing so. He's still there asking for grace, but he gives them none. Again, Congressman Gates on the hypocrisy.
Mr. Secretary, you come to us seeking forgiveness, but you offer none. And it seems as though the pattern is repeated. You make a mistake, like on the vax mandate and here regarding your notification, then you get busted. President Biden had to sign something into law reversing your vax mandate. You got busted here, not because you came forward, but because we learned of this through other means. And then after you get busted making a mistake, you know, you want that benefit, but you don't want to extend it to others. This isn't swift or clear. You're not meeting your own standards that you set for yourself. And you say that the DOD is a learning organization. Haven't you learned yet that the military is weaker, not stronger, with the 8,600 people that you vax mandated out of the military?
The question is very clear. Haven't you learned? Again, is a good question. Lloyd Austin appearing in front of Congress yesterday, and every question thrown at him, obviously from Republicans, not Democrats, came with a tipped spear, another example.
You say that the DOD is a learning organization. Haven't you learned yet that the military is weaker, not stronger, with the 8,600 people that you vax mandated out of the military?
Just one point, Congressman. The reason I'm here is because the chairman requested that I appear to talk about the circumstances surrounding my hospitalization.
But don't you see the hypocrisy in it? Because you screwed up, we fixed your screw up, and now you want grace, but these people who sought religious exemptions, they got no such grace. And also, I just think it's ridiculous that we're in three wars, you went AWOL for 3 days, and we get 2 hours with you.
We get only 2 hours. And he says, oh, well, I'm here only because I was requested to be here. In other words, I was not going to volunteer to come in here and face this. This is the guy that, under the commander-in-chief, the president, is in charge of our armed forces. He and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He goes for surgery and doesn't tell anyone. South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace had her turn at him.
When did you first receive your diagnosis?
It was early December.
And then who did you tell? Did you tell your staff when you received the diagnosis?
I did not. Again, as I said earlier.
Did you tell your staff you received the diagnosis, yes or no?
No, I did not.
Okay. When did you learn that you needed surgery?
Well, as soon as that diagnosis was made, you know, you have.
Okay, and then when did you tell your staff you needed surgery? When you found out you needed surgery, did you then inform your staff that you needed surgery?
I didn't tell my staff that I needed surgery.
When did you schedule the surgery?
It was mid-December.
Okay, and that was the December 22nd surgery?
Yes.
When you scheduled the surgery, did you tell your staff you had a surgery scheduled?
I did not.
Never did tell them. Never let them know he was going to be gone. Not going to be missing. Let's let Nancy Mace follow up on that point.
When you go under surgery for prostate cancer, do you need to be, like, totally knocked out, right? You can't be awake for the surgery. You have to be totally unconscious,
right,
and incapacitated, right? Yes or no?
That's right.
Okay, thank you. And then the date of the first surgery was December 22nd. At what point did you tell your staff you were going under the knife and going to be unconscious and incapacitated? Did you tell your staff that you were in the hospital and going to be under the knife?
I have admitted that that I didn't get this right. I should have notified the president of my cancer diagnosis and my...
So you didn't inform your staff in December when you had the December surgery that you were going to be incapacitated at all?
I knew I was going to be incapacitated, and I transferred authorities to the
okay.
Deputy Secretary.
And then they had this emergency event. Well, that was January 1?
That's correct.
What time of day did that happen?
Late afternoon.
And then did you tell your staff late afternoon when it happened what was happening?
I didn't. My concern there was getting to the hospital.
You did not tell your staff that you were on the way to the hospital.
That's right.
Do you hear how he's fumbling around? Would you not think, as a chief officer of our military, defense secretary, you would have come in a lot better prepared than that? You would have snapped off answers. I mean, yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. It was because, I mean, be readily prepared. I would have been. And I think most of you would have been. I think most military men, women would have been. If they're going to go in there, they know the questions they're going to face. You don't hem-haw around. I didn't tell my staff. And I admit I didn't get to the point of it. You failed. And then comes this issue from Nancy Mace, which I clearly agree with point by point.
When did your staff find out you were at the hospital?
I don't know when.
You don't know when you told your staff that you were at the hospital? Are you kidding me?
As a patient in a hospital undergoing
okay, let me just back up. I have a minute and a half. If any American worker did what you did, they would be fired. And they aren't the number two in the chain of command of the greatest and most lethal fighting force in the world. And here you are. You're not informing anybody on your staff that this is happening, let alone the President of the United States, let alone the delay to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, let alone the delay to the Deputy Secretary. What happens? Now, I didn't serve. Most of my family has served. So can you please tell me in just a few seconds, when a soldier goes AWOL, when they wear the uniform, when they put their lives on the line for our nation, for you, what happens when they go AWOL? What is the punishment?
Well, I wouldn't equate my going to the hospital and receiving treatment.
Being incapacitated as a secretary here, yes, is going AWOL. So you don't equate disappearing, being incapacitated, with being AWOL.
I didn't disappear. I was in a military
You didn't tell your staff. Did you not? You just testified. What happens when a soldier goes AWOL? I have 20 seconds.
We have to realize that, you know, I have a large fairly large.
Are they honorably or dishonorably discharged? Are they put into the brig? Are they what happens? Seriously, you're not even answering the questions. I'm not going to rest until someone is held accountable.
And I want to drill a little deeper on that point about AWOL when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me. On Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. People mind. Taking care of business and working overtime. What else?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so let's deal with this AWOL term as it relates to the military. I know I have many military members and ex-military listening. Of course, I appreciate that. We thank you for your service to our country. Regardless of your political views, you served as a patriot, and I consider that you're still a patriot. I hope you are. We don't have to have the same political views to share things on this program. If we begin with the first issue is patriotism. That is my prime goal on this program, is promoting patriotism, followed by protecting our children from the woke crowd, the predators that will get not only their bodies but into their minds if you allow them. But back to the AWOL definition. I'll give you the exact definition as you can find in any dictionary. Absent without official leave. That's AWOL. But it adds, but without intent to desert. In other words, they were not going to desert, but they're absent without leave, which is exactly what Nancy Mace was raising with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. You were AWOL. No, I was here. You were not present. No, I was present. I wasn't on another planet. I was still here. But no one knew that you were missing, quote, in action. Your duty and your job. There was a vacancy at that period of time until suddenly someone realized it and began to point it out, and then suddenly you surfaced and said, well, I notified my deputy assistant secretary, who was on vacation, by the way, in Puerto Rico or the Bahamas, wherever, entitled to it. But at the same time, she gets that word. She said, well, I'll fly back right away. And they said, it's all right now. He's going to be good. He's be coming back. So it was that long after his, quote, surgery. And as you heard her point out, when you're in prostate surgery, you're knocked out. You're full-blown knocked out. It's not just a local anesthetic. You're knocked out. So at that point, you were not capable of doing your duties. Even after surgery, as you well know if you've ever had it, when you come out of surgery, you're placed in a room where they're monitoring you as you begin to come out, and you're foggy, can't remember some things. Are you capable of deciding what the nation should do if suddenly we're under attack? Are you capable of even deciding what you want for dinner at that point? Of course not. Back to the punishment for AWOL. This is a source that correlates to what I know from time in the Marines, and most of you would know from your time in service. If you were AWOL, even for less than 3 days, you could face a maximum penalty of confinement for 1 month. That's right. You could be put in the brig for 1 month and also forfeit your 2/3 pay for 1 month. If you're absent without leave for 30 days or more, you face a dishonorable discharge. You forfeit all pay and allowances and a 1 year confinement. You're in jail for 1 year. When we would take leave on a Friday, and we were told to be back at 8 a.m. sharp Monday. Often it was earlier than that, but you better be there at 0800. You better be standing there in line in your uniform, and you better look sharp, be shaven and everything else, and not be staggering and not having someone help hold you up. You better be capable of standing there and doing your duty because you're back on duty. If you couldn't do that, they'd pull you aside. And if you were not back because you got polluted or something happened, you found a girl you're going to love forever and ever and ever, and for the next 2 days anyway, you're not there, you're AWOL. If you get back in under 3 days, well, then you're going to face a month in the brig. And when they put you in the brig, you don't just sit around in a cell. They, at least not in the Marines, they shackle you up at the ankles, and your wrists are shackled, and you're carrying a 35-pound steel ball tied to your legs through iron chains, and you're shuffling along with that and a 50-pound sledgehammer over your shoulder. And they take you to a place where you look and see big rocks, and your job for the next 8 hours, break the big rocks into little rocks. That's all you do all day. They may do it differently in other services, but I saw that once. Not that I was involved in the chain game, but I saw it. I thought, I never want to be wrong. I would always make sure I got back before 2400 the night before, so I got time to clean up and maybe get a little bit more sober than I was when I arrived. I'll admit that. But you better be standing in formation come 0800 or earlier, or you're AWOL. So Lloyd Austin was AWOL when he was in surgery. He was missing. And he wants you to believe, no, I was not missing. You're lying. And you would not let any soldier off with such an excuse. Now I need to let you know about the real threat that is facing America, because I don't think you're smart enough to know this. So I feel incumbent to let you know, because the source is extremely trustworthy. MSNBC. you got me. You see the joke already. Well, they had some panelists on talking about white rural voters. These would be those of you who are white and living in the country. And actually, this would probably also apply to anybody living in the country, living off the land. If you were Latino, Black, Asian, you might fall into the same category because you're rural. You're kind of stupid. You're a hick. You live in the hicks. These so-called journalists, one Paul Waldman, well, one is a claims to be a journalist, and the other is a professor at the University of Maryland. They were on MSNBC promoting their new book, White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. I need to write something like this because I know I can get on these programs. I know exactly to write that they will suck me up, but then I would have to get on there and say, it's all a joke, and a joke is on you. But they say, we lay out the fourfold connected, interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to our country. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay, geodemographic group in this country. Well, most white rural voters I know do not fall in that category. Are there some that do? Yes. Are there some that live in the city that fall in that category? Yes. Are there some of different color than white that fall in that? Yes. But according to these guys, this is also the most conspiratorial group. QAnon subscribers, election deniers. Wait a minute, that would be Hillary Clinton. She denies she lost the election fairly. And do you know right now the Democrats are already preparing that in event that Trump should win, they're trying to decide how do we keep the Electoral College votes from being counted? Isn't that exactly what the Republicans were doing? I'm not talking about the assault on the Capitol, but they didn't want those votes counted because they didn't think they'd be real. And in fact, Democrats have done that in the past. They have questioned the Electoral College count. And to the extent Hillary Clinton said after she lost to Trump, why do we have the Electoral College anyway? I won the most votes, popular votes. First of all, that assumes they were legal votes, which I would not accept. And second point being, she wants to throw the Constitution out, but I didn't get my way. I should have won. I should have won the first time I ran, but then here came this young junior senator from Illinois by the name of Barack, and he took it away from me. And Bill said I could be president. She's still denying. They also add, this group is also, they don't believe in independent press, free speech. Really? The George Soros Foundation taking over 200-plus stations from Odyssey and others thinking about buying up various radio stations so they can promote propaganda and shut down free speech? That's bigger than book burning, really. And don't forget the big tech masters and what they can control, what you put on or what you don't put on. And they also add, these white rural voters are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an alternative to peaceful public discourse. I've yet to find a true leftist, and these guys would fit with them, that can have a public discourse civilly about a difference in candidates and our philosophies. Because eventually they can't refute the facts and they begin flailing out. Perfect example, the border crisis, which now even Democrats are acknowledging, yeah, this is a bad deal, we got to do something about it. But by now we've already had a lot of damage done, haven't we? You know, one of the guests we often have on the program is Gordon G. Chang. He's an expert in China. And Gordon was appearing on one of the network programs. He appears on a lot of them in addition to our program. That's why I'm always glad to have him. He's very tough to book because of his schedule. But he likes being on this program. He likes being part of Larry Connors USA and speaking to you, this audience. But he was speaking the other day about an issue that had been brought up that China is proposing a no nuke first strike policy. In other words, no country should be the first to unleash nuclear weapons. And Gordon Chang was asked, is that a good idea?
Aggressors like China promote no first use because they don't want the countries they invade to defend themselves with their most powerful weapons. When Biden ran for president in 2020, he promoted something called sole purpose, which is no first use by another name. In his nuclear posture review, they were thinking of putting in no first use, but our allies, England, France, Germany, Japan, Australia, were vociferous that we not do that. And by the way, China is on a tear building nuclear weapons. According to the Pentagon, they had 400 in 2022. They'll have 1,500 in 2035. Private analysts think that China will have about 4,200 by 2035. And by the way, when war could be probable, you know, going to no first use would certainly erode deterrence and an exceedingly bad idea.
Yes, of course it's a bad idea. That's like here's they're saying basically, we will not be the first to use nuclear weapons if we're having some kind of war. And if the Chinese are counting on us to abide by that, and they're going to do whatever the hell they want, knowing that we will not fire a nuke at them until they have full control, then they'll blow the hell out of us if they choose. Just look at how they handle the climate issue. They sign on and say they'll be part of the climate control issue, but they continue to build and dig for coal and build coal-fired factories. And now they want us to sign on and say, well, no, we agree we will not be the first to use a nuke. We pray, need to pray that that never comes to that. But if China, depending on what they're doing, we will have to escalate. And if we cannot keep up, be it militarily with basic forces and basic current facilities and uses, then we may have to ratchet it up to make sure we come out on top. Otherwise, you better learn to speak Mandarin quickly. The Chinese like the idea, if you sign on and say, we won't use nuclear weapons as a first strike. We won't do it. If you hit us, then we will hit you with them. And you know why they like that we, this nation, might sign on to it? Because they actually have trust in our government, that we would do what we say we're not going to. You never give away the option of your arsenal. You don't sign such a thing. Now, do we want nuclear weapons in use? No, we don't. But you heard Gordon Chang say they've already got 1,500, probably going to have 4,500 nuclear weapons within the next 2+ years. We've basically sat back and said, we're fine with what we got. And they count on us to be honorable and not be the first to use a nuclear weapon. And we've got idiots in Congress and probably in our Defense Department that say, well, I'm sure the Chinese will play by the same rules. If you believe that, I'll put it to you as simply and as candidly as I can, without offending you, hopefully, like I care, you are stupid. Stupid. And you're endangering our nation. There's an event happening in Texas, and I've been watching it. It does not obviously affect most of my audience listening, although I do have a lot of folks in Texas that listen via the app. You know, you can use the app, Newstalk STL app, anywhere. I mean, listen from anywhere in the world. Or you can go to our live stream that's always up. You can always listen to our program that way, or pull the podcast up and listen later. Some, I don't know, they may be using that instead of listening live. It's your choice. But they've had a major fire, they call it the Smokehouse Creek Wildfire in Texas Panhandle, now blamed for 2 dead. This is considered to be the second largest fire in U.S. history. The second largest fire in the U.S. history. The Texas Panhandle, if you've ever seen a picture of the state of Texas, and if you haven't, shame on you. But the state of Texas, the Panhandle, is all that up at the top. Going north of Lubbock, that's all the Panhandle. And up in that region, mostly around Amarillo, they've had a major fire. We're consuming possibly cotton stubble, wheat, whatever is up there. It's just a massive fire consuming 1.1 million acres. They've had high winds. The smoke has been alarming. And then on top of that, you know, even when they got some cooler winds and lower winds, even up to 2 inches of snow, less than 5% of this has been shut down. So it's a dangerous situation in that area, and the smoke is immense. So think of those people in that area. I want you to enjoy your weekend coming up, and of course keep in mind, if you miss any part of it, you can go to Larry Connors USA Facebook or .com and pull it up and listen to it as you choose. Reminding you also, coming up next is Rob Carter. You don't want to miss his show. I do expect you back here reporting on duty next week. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.